So before we move to the next estimation technique, the bottom-up approach, although it's absolutely desirable to have accurate estimates, but just a word of caution, it takes a significant amount of time and hence has to be used during the later phases in the project. Now let us now look at another estimation technique, which is called as the expert judgment. This kind of estimation technique again is the quickest way to estimate a project. It involves an expert with a relevant experience who applies their knowledge and historical data to estimate a project. And how is this done? So, assuming that a project manager is, say, relatively inexperienced or doesn't have all the know-how to estimate the project timelines or the cost. So, in such a case, what the PM or the project manager would do is rely on some expert. The expert could be a functional consultant, the expert could be a domain expert, it could be a subject matter expert on that particular topic. So the PM would rely on their judgment to give the project manager an output in terms of time, in terms of cost, in terms of the risks involved, in terms of the project delivery, the scope, etc., etc. You know the drill by now. So the expert judgment is one of the most popular estimation techniques, as it tends to be quick and easy, right? So it's like maybe if you've watched Kaun Banega Crorepati, you call, say, a phone a friend, right? So it's something like that. You call an expert, you take their expert opinion, and then incorporate their expert advice, rely on their experience to estimate the project. It's more useful when you are planning a standard project, which is similar to other projects that has been done in the past. So again, the expert judgment would come into picture only when the expert has worked on project of similar nature in the past. That's where the learning curve of the SME would also come into picture. That's where the experience from doing similar works would actually help the subject matter expert to develop the kind of knowledge that is needed to provide opinion and expert judgment around how the current project has to be estimated. Expert judgment can be used to create maybe, say, a top-down or a bottom-up estimate. Again, so you rely on expert opinion in all walks of life, right? So again, in this particular approach, it can be, say, either it can be I would say complementing the top-down and the bottom-up approach, because it's expert opinion. You rely, so it's like this. You've, say, God forbid, there is a medical situation. You start by going to a general practitioner of medicine, but the general practitioner might, just want to cut down the chase, just give a call to a specialist to find out what needs to be done. So a part of input is taken from the specialist and incorporated as part of the overall exercise, right? So in case of this particular IT landscape, the expert advice or the expert judgment can be coupled with a top-down or a bottom-up estimate. Expert judgment is best suited for complex projects, because complex projects require the expertise, where quantitative estimation alone is not sufficient. So obviously, say, an estimation based on the number of man-hours is generally undertaken, but if there is something more that meets the eye, Say there is a project on artificial intelligence or machine learning, which is something new of its kind, which the general project manager might not really be aware. In such cases, expert judgment is generally taken. It is particularly advantageous for those managers who lack experience themselves. So we spoke about that. Assuming that there is a new project in the form of, say, augmented reality or, say, machine learning. And I'm not saying that these are new things in the market. These are very well established in the market since the past, what, at least 5 years. So we are recording this in 2023, but the machine learning models are at least prevalent in the market since at least 5 years, if not more. So, say if the project manager doesn't have a lot of skill set in understanding the scope around such advanced technologies, then the project manager would rely on the expert judgment of the subject matter expert. So that's where this estimation technique can be used. Some of the pros and cons. This technique allows for taking unique factors into account. Because this would have not been thought by, say, general estimators. Because you go to expert, he brings in the own expertise, the own experience of dealing in situations of similar kind. So this is absolutely valuable and unique to the person or to the SME who brings this expertise on the table. So this estimation technique allows to take unique factors into account. And hence cannot be considered using, say, a traditional template-based approach or a machine-supported analysis. It brings in the human element. It brings in the expertise, the learning curve from previous projects. This calls for human opinions, there's a word of caution that it can result into human bias. Human bias in terms of, say, over-provisioning things or bias in terms of looking at things in a negative frame of mind. So assuming that a particular subject matter expert had worked on a situation where a particular utility was delivered, say, within 10 weeks, although it was stated to be delivered within 6 weeks, but then it took time to deliver it in 10 weeks. And although this learning curve or this learning experience is good, but it's again based on human opinion. So we would not know whether that particular situation, there was, say, a certain crunch in terms of resources, in terms of, say, hardware or storage, etc. And that has formed a perception in the mind of the subject matter expert, saying that for the current project, let us not look at a 10 week, maybe look at, say, a 14 week. So what he would do is kind of do a sandbagging and give an estimate, which might not be most appropriate. Hence, the demerit here is that because this particular estimation technique is based on humans, there could be a case where the human bias comes into play. Let us look at another interesting estimation technique, which is called as a comparative or analogous estimation. So, analogous estimation uses the past project data combined with a top-down approach to estimate the project duration. So, if you look at this particular diagram, what it says is that there was a similar project that was done. And the more important thing to note here is that basis how the project had fared in the previous situation, the new project estimation technique is done using a top-down approach. So, if the average completion time of, say, similar projects was, say, 8 months, it would assume that the current one will also take 8 months, right? So it's like this, X car running on the road, which gives a mileage of say 20 kilometers per hour. So we assume that this the same X car on in country A, which was giving say 20 kilometers per liter as a mileage, even in country B it will give the same mileage. So if the average completion time of a similar project was 8 months, you would assume that the current project will also take 8 months. Then you break down those 8 months across the different tasks and activities to get to the low-level estimates. Again, so this method works really well for projects which have a similar scope of work. Typically, maybe say if you look at things like ERP solution, right? A case in point being say a SAP solution which has to be deployed, or a CRM solution that has to be deployed. Now, these are more or less base packages that are available, and then the base packages have to get customized. But if you look at say a base package, say SAP material management module that was deployed for say a manufacturing company, say a paints manufacturing company, and maybe it took say 18 weeks. So a similar SAP material management for another paints company would also take 18 weeks, because see, the nature of business is the same, the segment in which the customer operates is the same. So it is assumed that it's similar scope of work, it would take similar amount of time. It is frequently used in early stages of a project, because you don't do a deep dive into all the activities, all the roles, etc. To get a rough estimate, it becomes very easy to, you know, kind of look at similar works that have been done in a similar industry. Looking at, say, the pros and cons, analogous estimate is one of the fastest and the easiest way to estimate, because you look at similar work, similar industry, and a similar segment. So you just take that and kind of retrofit the new project as well. Some of the demerits is that it is characterized by low accuracy. Because say if the scope is different, then it cannot take into account the scope creep. It just takes into account the past experience of how the project has fared. So yes, it could be a good starting point to look at say similar works, and typically how even in personal life situations you get the estimates, right? Say if you're doing a home renovation, then the architect would say that, okay, I have kind of renovated a similar size house for nearly say 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and this was a high level cost. Surely, if that would apply in the exact same manner for your particular house, is a matter of question, but then it gives a rough level estimate. Now, if there's a lot of customization or a lot of detailing work that needs to be done in your home, then that particular estimate is going to fall apart. So that's the whole about analogous estimation. Let us now look at parametric model optimization. So parametric model estimation technique, this uses variables from similar projects and applies them to the current ones. So maybe say a case in time that this is basically based on mathematical modeling. So assume that you are buying a house, correct? You need a high-level estimate about the different cost structures. So the architect might give you a cost, say it's X rupees per square feet. So this is at a very high level, takes into account just the basic or similar work that the architect would have done in similar projects of its kind. And the same concept applies even to IT. The variables in this case can be many. So say human resources, material, equipment, etc., etc. But this is based more on a mathematical model. So say if there is a flat cost of resources, maybe say X man hours, right, or X dollars per hour. So that can be, say, one of the input parameters. Say if it's hardware maintenance cost, then typically X dollars per server per annum is the flat cost, and so on. So if accurate estimates are required, parametric approach is a good solution because it relies on historic data to calculate a estimation, and also coupled with the statistical data. So this is far, far more accurate. Say the architect who has given you the estimation, he would have looked at or derived at the per square feet rate after years of experience building houses. So similarly, say when a project manager gives X dollars of rate for a resource, he would have done that through say years of billing resources on similar rates. So this technique takes the details, as I mentioned, of the past projects and then tweaks them to fit the estimate of the current project. Again, I think this particular example on your screen that you see, imagine a company that builds houses. So the parametric approach could take the cost of all the past construction, as I just explained, and then divide it by, say, the per square feet rate to come up with an average project cost. Then multiply that with the actual planned footage. So assume that, say, translating it to IT, the per man cost is, say, 8,000 rupees per day. And if you require, say, 5 resources, so then the per day cost is 40,000 rupees per day. So this particular parameter, that is the cost per day, has been arrived after, say, years of iteration, working with different resources in the market, working on projects of similar nature, etc., etc. This technique is the most suitable for projects that are uniform in its nature and which have repeatable tasks. Because this doesn't take into account the uniqueness of a project, it's basically following a particular template. So where the rates are set, the nature of work is set, and you are doing, say, a very rudimentary estimation in terms of taking the templatized approach of, say, the cost or the timelines or any other attribute, and then extrapolating that for the relevant project. So it's more suitable for projects with a similar nature of works, which are repeatable in nature. Things like, say, implementation for ERP, implementation for CRM solutions, where the product packages are more or less the same, the nature of work might be the same, and hence the per hour rate of resources would be more suitable for a project like that. Coming to the merits and demerits, this method ensures that maximum accuracy in the resulting estimate, and this is because it derives this estimate from the past experience, how similar work has been accomplished in the past. So it takes into account the historical data and the statistical data, and then combines them together to form an accurate estimate which is relevant for the current project. Biggest demerit in this case would be the automated data collection procedure and processing are indispensable part of the parametric estimation. So there is a continuous improvement in terms of the modeling that runs behind. So assuming that earlier the per hour rate of resources was say 8,000 rupees per hour. Post COVID, where everyone was working remotely, suddenly there was an increased demand of resources, and that cost of 8,000 has increased to 10,000. So that iteration or the revised rates has to be included in the new estimation. So that is the reason why accurate data collection procedure and processing is required for this estimate to be accurate. Also, because it is a estimate which runs on historical data, the different factors that affect the external environment, that has to be taken into account while modeling nature of this. And obviously the customization that would be needed on the relevant project is always there. So it gives a good baseline to start estimating. The next estimation technique is my favorite, which is a three-point estimation technique. So it's a technique used for creating a bottom-up estimate. So rather than assuming one duration for a task, this takes into account three different scenarios, which is, say, the most aggressive, the most pessimistic, and the most likely. So the best case, the worst case, and the most likely case. These three numbers are then calculated. So individual numbers are calculated, and to arrive at a full estimate, it uses the weighted average of all of these. This technique, according to me, why I think it is the best technique is that while most of the estimates work on one particular scenario, this estimate works on the combination of the three scenarios. And typically even in life, you work at three scenarios, right? So a best case, a worst case, and a most likely. So in this case, besides every activity, you would make, say, three columns. Say if that particular activity gets completed in, say, 10 days, or in a worst case scenario, it gets completed in 18 days, and in the best and in the most likely scenario, it is, say, supposed to get completed within 14 days. So and then what it would do is it would take an average of all of these, and the weighted average or the average of optimistic, pessimistic, and the most likely scenario gives you the estimate. So if you look at PERT, right, which is Program Evaluation and Review Technique, which is the most widespread and the most popular technique for estimation. Even this uses a three-point estimation technique. But in this case, PERT generally tweaks the estimate. So like we saw the best case, the worst case, and the most likely, and the three-point estimate taking an average of all of these, this takes into account the weighted average of all of these. And the most likely scenario has the highest weightage. And why is this so? Because for obvious reasons, right? You have the optimistic and the pessimistic scenario. But if you look at the curve, and I'm not sure if you guys remember the curve that we talk about, that we spoke about in one of the previous sessions, where you had the optimistic curve that was running from x-axis, which was from negative to, say, a slightly positive. And then you had the best case scenario, which was running from say minus one to a positive, and in the middle between say the worst case and the best case was the most likely scenario. And PERT, this particular technique base gives the highest amount of weightage on the most likely scenario. Generally, if you look at say any estimation, say even when you do your say you go out to repair your say motorcycle, or you go for maintenance works of your car, you would have two scenarios in mind. Say in a worst case scenario, maybe you'll end up shelling out say X amount. In a best case scenario, you'll end up spending X minus delta X. But when the actual invoice comes to you, it's somewhere in between the best case and the worst case. So that's the most likely scenario. The only thing is that you get mentally prepared for a worst case scenario, and you achieve something which is better than the worst case. So it's a bonus for you, correct? So this particular, the PERT technique also puts a lot of weightage on the most likely scenario, and considerably so, because the result is mostly going to fall in that particular space. It is recommended to use this technique for complex projects and by teams with adequate resources to perform it correctly. Because this method requires estimation in three different situations, it can be applied for complex projects. And typically, customers or clients would ask you for say a worst case and a best case scenario. So this technique, as I said, is my personal favorite. This method is more thorough because while the majority of the estimation techniques focus on just one point during the calculation process, this is a process that takes into account say both the scenarios. So it takes the wide end of the spectrum, where your actual scenario will be somewhere in between. So it takes into account the different risks that are associated. So that is a pessimistic approach. And it also takes into account the most likely and the best case scenario. So it helps managers to minimize the threat of say cost and schedule overruns due to unforeseen events. So there is an inherent risk that is built when you create a pessimistic pessimistic estimation, and there is a sense of optimization or aggressive nature when you build a most aggressive estimate. So as I said, because this is kind of a weighted average or average of the three different scenarios, this tends to be far more accurate. Significant data amounts and attention to details are required. Again, because it's a three-point estimation, so you would take into account all the contingencies factored, the different risks involved, to create the three-point, to create the worst-case scenario, and because of this, you get a really good result as such.